The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host, guest, random reptoid, or chupacabra may not necessarily reflect those of AM 950 Radio, its affiliates, or its sponsors. Now, it's time to step into the unknown. There are things people experience but never talk about. A shadow moving in the corner, flickering of the lights, a disembodied voice. We invite you to talk with us. Share your story, share your experience. Because this isn't just your story, this is our story. This is Ghost Box Radio with Greg Bakken.
And this is Ghost Box Radio on AM 950, where every night we talk about the paranormal, ufology, Bigfoot, and so much more. My name is Greg Bakken. Thank you very much for joining me tonight. Happy Monday. I hope everyone had a fantastic weekend. I know I did. I had a really nice weekend, actually. Anyone like steak? I'm a big steak fan. And Saturday night, I outdid myself. I did a couple great beef tenderloins, also known as filet mignons, and grilled to perfection, if you don't mind me saying so. And it was a really great special night, and it was really made me very happy. Really much the highlight of the weekend, highlight of the week. And I was really excited to do so. As far as the steak is concerned, I haven't done one of those in a very long time. So I was happy to see I got it right. I didn't screw it up, and we did a caprese salad with it, and just a really nice evening. So I hope everyone had the opportunity to have a good weekend as well, and was able to do stuff. The weather around here has been really mild, really quite nice, actually, as we are into November now, and we had Saturday was 11/11. Don't forget, folks, those metaphysical fans, listen, those numbers, 11/11, are angelic numbers, and those are numbers to definitely keep in mind. So, yes, very much. It was great. It was a great day, great weekend. Now we're back at it. We are having a great week of great guests on tonight. We start off, and I'm really excited about this. I met this gentleman over at what we called the Para Connections in St. Cloud in October. You may remember I had Russ and Mark on to talk about their event, and met a lot of good people there. And one of the things that I really like is people who are following their passion. And it inspires me. I hope in some ways I inspire others, because, like, for example, what you're hearing right now, this is a passion project, you know, as far as me doing a radio show. As there's people who are making their dreams come true by doing classes on painting. There's other people who we're going to speak to tonight, our guest, who they are authors. And so we wanted to talk about it and really kind of get to the nub of what makes you go ahead and decide to do this. Plus, we're going to listen to some short stories being read. Our guest tonight is author Joe Prosit. And we are going to be talking about a new book series that he has coming out December 1st. It's going to be available on his website as well as Amazon. It's called From Order Series. It's a 3-book series. We're going to talk about that and so much more, and plus your questions as well. Joe, welcome to Ghost Box Radio.
Hey, Greg, thanks for having me. Excited to be here. This is Radio Land, the Infinite Eternal.
It really is. This is where DJs come and die. So yes, this is going to be really, really good. You know, Joe, and folks, we're just going to let you know there is a slight delay between Joe and I. We're figuring out, so there might be a little bit of delay between the time I ask a question and the time that Joe answers. But it's just, you know, it's the internet, right? It's what happens. Joe, you're way up in. Are you in St. Cloud? Are you further? Where, you don't have to give me your address, obviously, but where are you located?
I'm in Brainerd.
So oh my
gosh! I moved
up
here about 15 years ago. Yeah, I kind of was born and raised in the Metro, North Metro, and got a job up here, and kind of have loved the quiet and the calm.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I get it. And there's a lot of great areas around there, and like the Iron Range and places around Brainerd and stuff. And I haven't been around that area in so long. The last time I was up there probably was about 5-6 years ago, and somebody took us to a cemetery in the middle of the night, and they thought that they're going to scare us. They thought that this was going to be, and not by trying to play any tricks on us, they just were like, this is really a legit place. You know, you think you can handle it? Yeah, let's go. And so we pull up to the cemetery, and my friend Nicole and I would get out of the truck, and he's just like, what are you doing? And I was like, well, you brought us to the cemetery. We're going to go check it. I was like, no, I was just driving us up here. We don't get out. We don't leave. And I was like, we do. And we went out there. I mean, it's like, it's not scary, but you know, that was the last time I was up in that area. So now you went to the Paranormal Connections, which was a lot of fun. I hope you had a good day there. And did you, are you into the paranormal?
Yeah, I did. It was, like, I've never done any like ghost hunting or anything like that.
Sure.
Like that. So, my connection with that was, Russ, who you mentioned before.
Mm-hmm.
Me and him are kind of old army buddies that we've known each other for a long time.
Yeah.
And he knew what I was doing and asked me to come to that expo. And I'm like, you know, it's not really what I do. I write fiction, and yeah, I write ghost story fiction and sci-fi and other things, but I'm not really like into the ghost hunting thing. And he kind of asked me again, and I said, okay, fine. You know, it's a one-day deal for a buddy. And I went there and met a lot of really cool people.
Yep.
A lot of people connected with what, you know, with my books there. And I'm really glad I went. And obviously, you know, we met there as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it's a little bit of an odd fit, you know, but at the same time, I think me and you were really in the same business, because I think anytime a subject matter is understood and we understand it perfectly, to me, it's not boring,
yeah.
Right? I'm not interested, but, the reason I write what I write is the what ifs and what we don't understand, whether it's, interactions with paranormal or future technology, whatever that is. And I think that's kind of what people in your line of work do as well, is you're trying to answer those kind of unknowable questions.
Yeah, I think so. And at least also in my position, as I am like right now, for example, as doing this radio show, I feel like my job is to open up lanes of communication, right? Open up like if there was just more than you in this, or just you. I mean, my role, I think, is the conduit to make sure that people get as much information about you as possible, because once it becomes about me, then I think show's over. You know what I mean? I think it really needs to be about, you know, about the people we bring on and let them shine, which was one of the reasons why I was so interested when I saw you at Paraconnections, because I saw somebody who is, you know, you got all your books and stuff there, and it's just like, how do we get more people to know about, you know, you, but also people like you, if you will, you know, that this is what you're doing is not easy. You know, you're writing, you know, it's hard enough to write and come up and be creative, write something that people want to read. And then you have to shill it. You know, you have to, yeah. you have nobody, maybe you do, but you probably, it's probably mainly you trying your best. You know, you're the one that's packing up the books and probably sending them out, unless they're through Amazon or whatever else. So, I mean, and that's something that I just think that people who maybe not understand that, you know, it's like, ooh, cool, an author. Yeah, an author, you know, Postmaster General, you know, my own advertising agency. So it's not easy, is it?
You know, you're absolutely right. It's pretty much a one-man show. You know, I hire out a little bit of work, but you're right. I'm loading in, I'm packing out, I'm driving. I've been driving all over the Midwest to go to shows and find people. And, you know, yeah, it's one skill to write, and it tends to be a very introverted and solitary task to write and just tap away at your keyboard for hours on end. And it's a whole other skill completely to actually get out and be in front of people and not be afraid to, you know, engage with people and kind of get their interests and have enough, whether it's arrogance or confidence to sell what you, you know, your mind drippings to random people that you come across.
I like that. That's so true too, isn't it? That's like, why do people want to like my ideas? But at the same time, you have to be your biggest proponent for your ideas. Otherwise, there isn't going to be a chance of it catching on.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I go to a lot of shows, a lot of conventions, and I see some people who kind of hide behind their little booth, and they wait for people to come, and lo and behold, not too many people come. And at the end of the show, they're like, man, I didn't do it very well. I didn't sell many books. I'm like, well, yeah, I mean, there's 200 vendors here. You have to put yourself out there. So it really is like from the very get-go, a lot of people will write and kind of never show it to anybody. And that's fine, right? Yep. Like if you are writing for yourself and you're enjoying it and you're having fun, by all means do that thing, because it's like, I think it's a huge mental health benefit. It enhances your life, just the act of writing itself. But to go out and sell, and if you want, you know, to share that with other people, then yeah, it really does take some confidence and some boldness and brashness to get out there.
I think too, one of the things that you hit the nail on that I was going to actually ask you about, and you brought it up, was the mental health aspect to it, because there is something, you know, first of all, I think there's something very freeing about being creative, but are you able to articulate in particular what it is when it comes to writing that helps your mental health?
Yeah, I think. I mean, for one, writing is a free space. There's never any ideas that I say, I'm not going to write about that. That's off limits. I allow myself to kind of play with the world in my writing, because there I'm not going to, you know, nobody's going to get hurt. Nobody's going to get, and I might not publish everything, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, if I have something that happens in my life, whether, you know, something like my kids moving away to college, or even something like losing a good friend, subconsciously, sometimes shortly after, sometimes months or even years after, I realize like that's what that is about. And you won't see it on the page, right? It's not a word for word.
Not cise, right?
Yeah, yeah. But it's you just work through thoughts and emotions, and I think any good writing is fed by that.
Yeah. I mean, do you use it as, I mean, because you kind of touched on this, but I mean, also, if you're just angry about something and you want to just get it out of your system, is that a good way to do it as well? You know, it doesn't even have to be like we just said, cise. It could be like an analogy, or it could be some sort of like, you know, veiled take on your anger, but only you may know about it, but it's enough to make you feel good about, you know, like you got it out of your system.
Yeah, for sure. And some of it is me figuring out how I feel about a certain thing. Mm-hmm. Like I said, what's understood doesn't need to be discussed, right?
Yeah.
So even as I'm writing it, a lot of times I don't understand how I feel about that thing or what I think about it. But in the process, I learn about myself through the process too.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, I'm sure that's probably one of the best parts of it, is that you probably surprise yourself with what you come up with or where something takes you.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what, I write a lot of horror and sci-fi too. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it's you know, like, man, that was pretty dark. And a lot of times it's just fun too, right? And there's so many fun parts of the journey, but one of the things that I like is every once in a while when that idea hits for a story, it's like instantaneous. and I'll be talking with somebody and just chatting away, and they'll say something, and immediately I'm like, that's a story. And they won't even know it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like me and a friend were on a long drive, and we were talking about self-driving cars, right? And I said, well, yeah, that's great, because then, you know, if people are out drinking, they can just hop in a car, and they don't, you know, they're not going to kill anybody or anything like that. And my buddy in the driver's seat says, yeah, that's all fine and good until your car decides to kill you. I'm like, what are you talking about, man? And then, you know, he's bringing up like the trolley scenario and how we're entrusting moral decisions with computers and machines. And the right moral decision might not be to save you. It might be to save other people by, I don't know, you having your car swerve you into a tree rather than a family walking across the street.
You know, I have a story for you before we go to break. It could be the guy in the radio station by himself that has the monitor that has the camera looking out the front door, and suddenly the security light just came on. So, you know, I'll leave you with that. Please make it a happy ending, because that's what I'm hoping for right now. Why don't we go ahead and do this? You think I'm kidding. Let's go ahead. Let's take our first break. When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with author Joe Prosit. We're going to talk about From Order series that comes out December 1st, at least book one. There's so much to talk about. I'm so fascinated by this. You're listening to Ghost Box Radio on AM 950. And as I am looking at the screen, the light went off now, so, you know, you'd think that that means everything is good. It probably is an animal, to be very honest, because, as I have mentioned before, we are in the land of the animal kingdom here. It's probably, and I'm not kidding when I say it's probably a turkey. We've had plenty of turkeys around here. It might even be a deer. So, yeah, that's interesting. That was a lot of fun. I have with me tonight author Joe Prosit, and we're talking about the creative process. And, you know, Joe, I want to get to your new book series here in a second, but a friend of mine, John Marson, who is, I don't know if he's still listening or not, he had told me the other day about, you know, the Tesla cars, that there's been people who've been driving in the cemeteries with their Tesla, and the Tesla has this thing that on the screen that shows you like people, like if people are in, you know, around so you don't hit them. And in the cemetery, people are showing up when there are no people.
And
so there you go. That's a freebie for you, Joe. Go ahead, take it. Do with what you will with that one.
I'm in to start taking notes.
Yeah, right. I mean, you didn't realize this is a creative session. once again, we have author Joe Prosit, who is writing, who's coming out in December 1st with, is it the first book of the From Order series or all three?
I'm doing all three at once.
All three at once.
So we got three books. Yep. The first one is 99 Town, and then Seven Androids. And then the finale of the series is Zero City.
So what is the series about?
Yeah, so I guess I'll start with the first one, because it really, as books do, it kind of takes a journey.
Sure.
Right? And the first one, it's, if you're familiar with cyberpunk, like the subgenre of sci-fi.
Yep.
We have essentially a new world order that has taken place when people have had implants in their brains that, you know, kind of takes place of our cell phone. So you can pay, you know, you can do transactions with it. You can call a cab with it. You can basically go about all about your life's business just by thought with an implant. And, you know, I tell people one of the challenges of writing science fiction is to keep up with science reality, right? And now there's like Neuralink that's on the verge of coming out. So it's, you know, just riding the tide ahead of reality. But what the situation is this order has all this tool at their use. So now they can access these implants in people's brains, and they can use it to stop crime, right? can read your biometrics. They see you have an elevated heart rate, certain parts of your brain are lighting up. Say, okay, we'll paralyze this person, prevent a crime, and therefore build a utopia. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the world that we're introduced to, and then into the beginning of the book.
Sure.
And then we're following this federal investigator whose really his job is just to investigate any anomalies where the system doesn't work perfectly. But when the daughter of these rich elites is murdered in this town where they don't allow the technology, he has to go into this town where no technology after 1999 is allowed. It's called 99 Town, and solve a mystery kind of the old fashioned way, right? So he meets up with, you know, the detectives there, and everybody's driving old 70s muscle cars because that's all they got, and they're keeping these things up. And he's thrown into this world that he doesn't really know. And it's kind of just a classic murder mystery, but with a lot going on around it and wider implications.
Wow. That must have been a lot of fun to create this world.
Yeah. Yep. It starts out in Chicago, and then the 99 Town is basically, I took Rockford, Illinois, and kind of ripped it out of the map and put my own town there instead. So yeah, he goes to this 99 Town, which is where Rockford is, and gets into this investigation. As the more he finds out, the more he finds out about the larger government around them and what they're doing, and maybe people aren't being so honest and people aren't using it for the right reasons. And of course, anytime we have a new technology, there's opportunity for abuse. So that's 99 Town. I don't want to give any spoilers or any endings away.
Yeah. How cool. You know, and I love the idea that you could start off with, like, I can go anywhere in the world. I can do whatever I want, and it's totally up to you whether or not you want to, you know, create something that's where Rockford is, or if you want to be like, I've always wanted to know more about Milan, Italy. I'm going to go look it up, and I'm going to set it there. I'm going to set this intrigue at the Vatican or whatever you want to do. That has to be really fun.
Yeah, yeah. And it's, you know, we visit Chicago fairly often, and my daughter's currently going to school there. I just was there last night coming back from Peoria at the convention and stopped by and visited my daughter in Chicago. And then lo and behold, I'm listening to your show on the way back today about H.H. Holmes.
Yeah.
And I've forgotten all about it. Like, I had that piece of information in my background, you know, in my head. I'm like, yeah, that's right. That guy had his murder castle right in Chicago.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, now I look at Chicago differently because it's a fun thing, and it happens fairly regularly where I'm someplace in the real world, and in my head, I set a story there, and I'm like, oh yeah, this is where this happened in my story. But you know, it's only in my head sometimes, or in a book once it's published.
Are you forgetting what's real and what's not real, Joe? Is that what you're trying to tell us?
Maybe not quite yet, but it is a little bizarre when I go there. I'm like, oh yeah, there's some people got murdered here. And, you know, people around me are like, what are you talking about, man? This is Brainerd. Everything's fine.
when you're doing a 3-book series, how rigid are you planning out the series, and how much are you letting yourself kind of have the characters and the situation show you where the book is going to take you? Is any where are we looking at with that?
Yeah, so I wrote 99 Town almost as a standalone. Mm-hmm. And I was pretty much done with the book, but I knew there was so much more story to tell. But I hadn't had anything outlined for any future books. I just knew I wanted to do more. And it took me a good while after at least the first draft of 99 Town was written before I knew what I wanted to go and do with the second book. Mm-hmm. And the second book is, I think I can pitch it without spoilers. Essentially, our hero from book one is with a different organization, and they want to find out some information. So they use the connection in his brain to plug his head into a captured head of an android.
Okay.
And the android is dead. It's sitting there. It's just a skull, but it has memories, and they want to know what the android did and experienced. And turns out the android went insane, along with its other Android partners. And his job is basically to survive and maintain his own sanity while reliving all these memories and experiences through the mind of a robot.
Okay.
So that's seven androids. Oh. Kind of a Seven Samurai nod or a Magnificent Seven nod in that book.
That's cool. That's really neat. Do you run these books past like your friends or have anyone read them, like just to kind of see what they think, or how, you know, or are you just kind of like, here's my book?
No, it's definitely, I said before, it's a one man show, but I gotta give props to my biggest supporter, my wife, Sarah. She's always my first reader. And really good about like giving honest feedback. And sometimes that's not nice to hear. And sometimes it really is good to hear, but, you know, I have her, and then I have other writing friends who I'll kind of workshop stuff with, or have them read the whole book, and other just readers who I've gotten to know and say, hey, here's the beta copy. Let me know, mark it up, and give me some feedback, because it really is a process. And for the folks watching on streaming, I guess I got something that I think is kind of cool. I'll grab it quick.
All right.
So it's not far away, but as I write, I'll write first draft just on a Word document, and then I'll have books printed, just a single book, so that I can write ink it myself. Mm-hmm. And then I'll have a beta copy for others to read. And then, you know, kind of as I get covers and work towards the final product, with 99 Town, I have the second draft without a cover, the beta reader copy, which I just grabbed a Photoshop, image off the internet. And for people just listening, I'm handing out and I'm showing off multiple copies of this book as it grew. Then I had my first shot at the cover, which I kind of liked, kind of didn't. And then the proof right before it was published, and then finally the final copy. So to make one book, that's six copies that I went through beyond just the Word documents on my computer. So it's writing, it's editing, it's the formatting of a book, it's working with cover artists. It really is a journey, and takes a lot of work, but you know, it's worth it.
I really like the idea of, and I'm just going to say, we might lose my camera here because the battery seems to have just kind of gone away, but I'll still be here. Don't worry. You can't get rid of me that easily, Joe. But the thing is like, I love the fact, and maybe everyone does it this way, I don't know, that you're taking a physical book and you're marking it up. And I just really like it, because it also, I mean, one thing I always get worried about doing any kind of writing is, yeah, you save your different versions, but you don't want to also, you know, you don't want to get rid of the stuff that went before, even if it's not working, because it's also kind of a historical document at this point.
Yeah, for sure. I still have my first drafts. I don't like to look at them, because I, you know, you look at that and it's like, ooh, that's pretty rough. I'd rather look at the final draft and see where it's come. But it's definitely good to know for anybody who's starting writing or wants to get into it, that it's okay if your first draft is garbage, and that all first drafts are garbage, and it takes a long time to be good at anything.
Yeah.
And you know, it is a long process, and eventually with practice and with effort, you'll have something, you know, hopefully that people want to read.
I think that's a really good point. And I think that's one of the things that stop most of us from doing not just writing, but anything, right? Is the idea that, I just know I'm not very good at it. I mean, they look at people, like someone like myself may look at you as you are right now and be like, well, I can't do that. I can't write to that level, but you had to start somewhere.
Right, right. Yeah, and really, I don't know what it is about me or what, but I've been writing my entire life. People ask me, when did you start writing? And like, I have memories of drawing pictures of my toys when I was a little kid and telling my mom what the toys were doing, and then she would write verbatim what I said on my little toys were in the story. The astronaut goes to the moon, and he gets attacked by a lion, and then Spider-Man shows up. And, you know, that was writing, and it just really never stopped for me. So I got 44 years of writing experience, I think.
What is it that is the most exciting part of writing? What is there a process or a reason? Is there, it can even be encapsulated in one thought about what is it that writing does for you?
I think really when I'm kind of in the flow, and I'm usually at that first draft, and when things are actually working, and sometimes they don't, sometimes I just sit and stare at the, you know, the cursor on my screen, but when it's really flowing and those characters are becoming really engaging and interesting, and I'm having fun with it, I know my readers are going to be having fun with it. And I think that's, you know, essentially I'm creating another life experience for myself. So in that way, I get to live an infinite amount of lives, you know, just practicing that empathy with somebody who doesn't even exist.
What is it about, what is it you think that is from about the From Order series for people who may not have experienced your books before? What is it about this series that you think that people are really going to like, and that they should definitely get the books when they come out December 1st?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Well, so at face value, I think it presents itself as a pretty standard boilerplate murder mystery,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Like we've seen Blade Runner, you've probably read or seen Altered Carbon. It's pretty standard trope for, you got some cop or some detective who's in this cyberpunk world trying to solve some mystery. But I think it really spreads itself more into who you are and why you do the things that you do. And if you have an implant in your head that's preventing you from, you know, doing any misstep or guidance, does that make you a good person? Or are you able to be a good person without sort of the bumper bowling rails on? Can you manage your own life? And who are you without those restrictions on you? And what is it to be a human being?
I also think, too, from like what you're describing, one of the things that really kind of sticks out for me, which I'm really cool, which I find very cool, is, like, for example, you know, like Blade Runner is great, and you get kind of a cursory look at this world. You know, you get a top line level of this work. Your book, though, you've created your own world. For what that is, that people can, over these three books, they can experience, I would think, what it's like to live in this world, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's the general idea, is in the joy of reading, right, is you get to put down your own, you know, concerns and worries and problems or whatever, and kind of pick up, and again, it's a safe place where you can play with ideas, and you can take on new experiences and still, you know, be safe on your couch at home.
Right.
But yeah, live that additional life.
Oh, that is fantastic. Joe, what I think we're going to go ahead and do is, why don't we go ahead, take our next break. When we come back, we're going to have Joe read a short story for us. You get a kind of an idea of his prose, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And then we're going to talk a little bit more about the From Order series. You're listening to Ghost Box Radio on AM 950. Join us tomorrow on Ghost Box Radio with Greg Bach, and we're going to have on Ernie Pack. Ernie is going to be talking about strange things at Fort Knox, and don't worry, I don't mean Ernie himself. I mean, yes, he is a strange thing, but that is not what we're going to be talking about tomorrow. We're going to be talking about some possible paranormal things, maybe some cryptid stuff. I mean, Fort Duffield, which is what him and Denise, they manage that. That buds right up to Fort Knox. So there's some interesting stuff there. He's not an expert, but he's going to talk to us about some of the stuff he knows. We're going to talk about some other paranormal topics as well. On Wednesday, we're going to talk about interfaith exorcisms. Our guest will be Reverend Brianna Lee. You may recognize her voice from the Magus Books commercials, and she's going to be on. She's an interfaith minister, Wiccan priest, Reiki master. I'm really looking forward to that conversation. And Thursday, we're going to be talking to author Lester Velez, and we're going to be talking about his book, The Unknown Other and the Existential Proposition of Alien Contact. So there's a lot of stuff that we're talking about this week, so make sure you join us. And if you're not able to join us, definitely listen to the show on podcast. You can get the past episodes at am950radio.com or ghostboxradio.com. But we are talking with author Joe Prosit. We're talking about From Order series that comes out December 1st. All three books are coming out, available on his website as well as available on Amazon. Joe, what is the website address, please?
It's real simple. It's www.joeprosit.com, and that's J-O-E-P-R-O-S-I-T.
Definitely.
And I'll also be doing a book launch in Maple Grove at the Lookout on December 4th. So that'll be a little party just for really open to the public, but friends and family coming out and just celebrating that we got some books out in the world.
I love the Lookout. The roasted chicken. Are you kidding me? So, I mean, obviously, I'd go for the book launch. I mean, the chicken's secondary, obviously. Don't get me wrong. Now I'm hungry for chicken. Thank you. We're gonna be doing a reading. I want to make sure I get this in so I don't interrupt you with running up to the clock. So what are we going to be listening to you read tonight, Joe?
Yeah, so it's a super short story. I also have a couple of short story collections out there. We'll have one, and I have a sneak peek at volume two that's coming out. This story is going to be in volume two, and it's called How I Spent My Summer Vacation. And it's kind of a little twist on that essay that we all had to write coming back from third grade. So that's kind of the idea with this story.
Joe, I'm going to let you take it away.
All right. So there's some German in this story, so I apologize for my terrible pronunciations, but I'm learning as the character is in the book. So we'll take it away. How I spent my summer vacation. I didn't do much, really. Well, I learned some German. Sorry. Ich lerne Deutsch. See? And I learned some karate, too. Well, not karate. Kendo. I kind of had to do that because of the time Nazis. And I suppose you could say that's why I learned German, too. Sorry, Deutsch. Ich habe ein bisschen Deutsch gelernt. See, I wanted to learn karate, but Kendo uses swords. And with all the Nazis coming through the Tarn portal, I needed swords. Well, a katana and a wakizashi and the years of Kendo training needed to wield them. See, the Zaitsur goes both ways, and I figured my trip to ancient Highland Japan and the harsh tutelage under Master Masamune Yojimbo, learning to dance the Ashi Sabaki, and the months spent in the mountain forest birthing my blades from raw ore and sharpening them into a gleaming teeth of revenge I needed to right all the wrongs that had beset my city since the Zaitsur appeared, was time well spent. And the German lessons. I mean, ich habe Deutsch und die Klinge gelernt. But really, those things didn't happen this summer. That was years in the past. See, the only way the Nazis could escape their fates on the dusk of the Second World War was to escape the timeline altogether. And when they had emerged through the Zeitzeit, filed hard from years of failed war, full of the kind of hate that fuels genocide, strung out and desperate for methamphetamines, leaderless and displaced, they came ready, fertig, for a fight. I wasn't, fertig. That means ready. I wasn't ready. Didn't even know what they were screaming when they stormed through the city, waving their guns, executing families randomly in the street, executing my family in the street, and saying something to me, I didn't know what. When they shot my father and mother but let me go, some of the first words I picked up, dein Vater und deine Mutter, my father and mother. I learned others, out of spite, and I learned weapons other than the gun, because guns didn't work for me, zu schnell und billig, Entschuldigung, too cheap and quick. I wanted them to know my words. I wanted them to see my face when I killed them. So I went through the Zeitzeit. When I realized what it was, I took full advantage of it. Ich lerne Deutsch. Ich lerne Klinge. Ich suche Rache. Days learning German, weeks traveling, months forging my blades, years spent training, getting ready. But Frecklish, that wasn't this summer. That was back in time. This summer, I came back to this summer just before they came through the Zeitzeit, and I waited for them. And when they came through, still covered in the dust of their bombed out cities, still running in fear, still bloodied and drug addled and strung out, the first thing they saw was me and my blades. The only thing they heard was mein Deutsch. Come, mein Schatz, come mit mich und ich sage dir deine Zukunft. Ich werde dir den Tod anzeigen. Ich bin fertig. It only took a few minutes. I spent most of my summer just lying around, not doing much work. But besides killing time Nazis, the rest was pretty scheiße.
We won't talk about that last word.
So there you go.
How cool is that? Now, how many shorts? So this is a volume that's coming out, right? Of short stories, did you say?
Yep.
When is that?
So yeah. I have volume one is right here, 16 short stories in this one. I like to compare it to shows like Twilight Zone or Tales from the Crypt or Love, Death, and Robots. And then my volume two, I think it'll have more because as I've written more short stories, I kind of like to get them shorter and shorter. So smaller word count, I figure throw in more words to give, you know, the readers a good thick book.
Do you ever start a short story and you're like, this needs to be actually much more expanded?
Yeah. Honestly, I do. But it's also, that's kind of the fun of a short story is to take a really big concept like that and to cram it in so that you really give a nice experience to the reader. It really has a punch, maybe a twist ending. So they get that satisfaction in just a one sitting event.
I suppose it's like it's like a discipline as well, right? To be able to, like, you know, anyone who's trying to do like something of like, you know, trying to outdo themselves, like with a record or something like that of how can I get this in with so many words or something like that, that you even though it might look like a good longer story, that it actually, you know, you're going to try to discipline yourself to keep it short.
Yeah. And it's a kind of a different art. Whereas a novel, you get that time, like we were talking about with 99 Town, where mm-hmm. I can bring you into this world and I can show you all these different things and all these different, intricacies with a short story. I just have to give those hints, you know, like in the one I just read, we don't get to talk about how the time portal got there or who invented time travel or any of that. Just, you get to know it's there. Now let's go for a ride. Never mind. You know, maybe some of those other things.
It's all established, whether you're there to see it or not, it's established.
Yep.
Yeah, that's really cool. Do you have any same characters ever show up in more than one short story?
Not yet. I haven't really done that yet. And I would like to do something where it's kind of like a Pulp Fiction style or mm-hmm. The Tattooed Man, where Ray Bradbury's old book, where there's some connection between the stories. But right now it's kind of really, I write these and I send them out to online magazines or podcasts, whatever, and they'll take them up and publish them as standalones. And that's kind of been my goal. And really, you know, after they kind of live their life on the internet and I get the rights back, then I've been bundling them up and putting them into these books here.
Yeah. I mean, it's really neat to see like that there's such an art to everything, right? And that to be able to do that, you know, it's just, I mean, one of the things that I find interesting, I mean, and I think about the work that I do, the stuff that I do, it's so hard to discipline yourself to know when enough is enough, like going long. And I feel like most people with their creative endeavors tend to make everything longer than it needs to be. Like, there is no such thing as self-edit. Do you find that being a problem for yourself?
I definitely keep that in mind. And I like to tell people that my delete button is the hardest working button in the industry. Because and usually even when I, you know, have that writer's block and I'm stuck, usually I can find the solution by hitting the backspace button. but yeah, it really, you know, the last thing I want to be is boring. I want to keep people excited. I want to keep the pace flowing. I want them always looking for the next thing. So I really do try to be efficient and purposeful with the words that I put down. I think short stories has really helped a lot with that and making those novels, even though they're much longer, to really be to the point and punchy and fun and fast.
Yeah, because I could imagine that there's a lot of meandering. I would assume that perhaps authors who are not as skilled might look at a longer word count possibly as a way to fill in stuff, and you kind of start losing the plot. I've read a number of books where you're just like, all right, you're kind of grandizing your own ideas, but you're not furthering the plot at all. And there, I suppose there's a fine line in that as well.
Yeah, and it even depends on the genre. Like if you're writing fantasy, that's kind of expected to spend a lot of time, world building and sure. filling out the environment.
Yeah.
And I think sci-fi tends to be more quicker paced and not as lenient with that kind of bloviating.
You know what I would find interesting to write about, and this is going to sound so ridiculous, you probably just hang up on me when I say it, because one of the things I always enjoy, like reading like a Stephen King novel or something, that there's a moment where, you know, these characters, you get a glimpse, and Ian Fleming was really good at this, talking about stuff like, this is what our characters ate today. This is what their lives are, you know. So it's not all about like the brunt of the plot, but you get a little understanding of like, you know, like, oh, they grilled chicken or they did whatever else. And they're, you know, that it actually, you know, described in a way that makes you hungry as well. But also it gives a little background into what these characters' lives are like beyond the main plot, if you will.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's characterization, right? Like James Bond wouldn't be James Bond without his martini.
Yeah.
And like, so yeah, you need those too. And like, you do want, as a reader, you do want to sit back and get comfortable and be familiar with those characters and with those worlds. So it is a balance, right? Of like, how much is too much and how little is too little.
And you know, you get them all familiar with your characters so that when you kill one of them off, you can really make them very, very.
That's right. Yeah.
Get people angry
at you. If they don't love them, it won't hurt when they die.
Have you killed off any characters? And you don't have to, I mean, because we don't want to give anything away to anything that you've written. But have you killed off any characters where you're just, it really, really bothered you? As the author, that but you knew it had to happen.
Yeah, for sure. There's definitely some characters, like, you know, in a three-part series, there's some people that die in book one. It's like, man, I really like that character. I wish he or she could have hung around for, you know, the next two books.
Wish that they made smarter choices, right?
Right. Their own fault. It's not
yeah,
my fault.
Yeah, right. What a shame they're so stupid that they couldn't stay alive. Well, when you write about the radio host that's watching the lights go on and off, the security lights go off and off, hopefully you don't have him do stupid things like run out to the front to see what's going on. You know, just, you know, make him kind of cool, would you please?
I mean, you got to investigate the noise. And if you got any friends with you, obviously you got to split up.
Yeah, right. 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 And even though there's a car right there that we could escape in, we won't use it. We'll go out the back and go into the bog, you know, into the pond in the back. So once again, it's joeprosit.com, right? To get your books. Can you pre-order them on Amazon? Or I'm sorry, Amazon, but also on your website?
Yes. Yep. Yeah. So pre-order now, and then once December 1st hits, it's available in paperback and digital. So if you like to read digitally, you can, you'll have it on your device come December 1st.
We have a lot of keen readers who are our listeners. Folks, please support your local authors, especially when the content is so good. Please check out joeprosit.com and check out these books. Joe, thank you so much for joining me tonight.
Yeah, thanks, Greg. It was a lot of fun.
Absolutely. We're going to be back tomorrow with Ernie Pack. Everyone, have a good night.